Dawn, for your sharing with us. It's really, really good to hear. So, we continue our journey through Ephesians. Just a small recap. This reading that Margaret has just shared with us is a letter written around about AD 60 by the Apostle Paul whilst in prison. His main purpose is to encourage the church of Ephesus, in their faith by explaining the nature and purpose of the church, that is, the body of Christ. And the prayerful hope is that we here today may mutually be encouraged and strengthened in our faith, understanding more what is the nature and purpose still of the church today, some 2,000 plus years later. So, today, Disability Awareness Service. When we hear the word disability, many thoughts or pictures may come to mind. You may yourself have a disability. You may have a loved one who does, someone close to you. You may have been a carer for someone who has a disability, or perhaps that is your job, to be a carer. That is partly my job, as well as working in the church. I do support work for adults with learning disabilities. So as we think about the word disability, I think it is important pointing out right at the start of what I'm sharing is that for Jesus, with his ministry here on earth, one of the biggest disablements that he would encounter and he would speak about more than any kind of disability was that of the human heart and how we need his help in healing this. Jesus always valued a person for being just that, a person. He saw beyond any kind of physical, emotional, or cognitive disability. He saw and valued the person foremost, and he was always and still is concerned with the human heart. Annette mentioned earlier about the man who was paralyzed, whose friends lowered him through the roof to meet Jesus. They wanted to bring him to Jesus for healing. This man wanted healing. Jesus knew that this man, as much as any other person, had stuff going on in his heart, stuff that needed dealing with, and that stuff in his heart needed God's healing and forgiveness more than any physical disability. That was the primary need that day. Jesus knew the greatest disability affecting this man was in his heart, and that's where the greater healing took place. So the passage from Ephesians, which we have heard read, speaks of us all being equal in God's eyes. All of us are incapable in our own strength of being right before God, though because of Christ's love and mercy, his abounding grace, we have been positioned as being right with God. There is nothing that you or I have done to deserve this or earn this. It doesn't come cheap, but it is a gift that is freely given because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Verse 8 of our passage confirms this. God's grace has saved you because of your faith in Christ. It is God's gift. The passage goes on to say in verse 10 that we are God's creation, God's workmanship, or masterpieces, as some translations beautifully describe us. We are created in love to do good works, which God prepared for each of us to do. Now, if God considers us masterpieces, excuse me, but who are we to argue with our Creator that we or anyone else is less than this? We put ourselves at odds with Christ when we view ourselves or anyone else as less than. Our reading speaks about the good works God has prepared for each of us to do, and that really does mean each of us. However, as we have heard already today, there can be hurdles and obstacles in place which can hinder or sometimes completely prevent many people with disabilities fully using their gifts within a church context. In the pandemic, some of these obstacles and hurdles inadvertently were removed, meaning that when the physical church buildings closed in the pandemic, many churches, as we know, then went online for the first time. For many ministers who are disabled, they have shared that for the first time an equal platform was created. The usual obstacles were no longer there. So if you battled with severe mobility issues, you didn't need to leave the home. You could conduct the service from your own front room. If you battled with a chronic fatigue and travelling was exhausting, you didn't actually have to go out. Church for those who had a computer could be accessed by the disabled and non-disabled. An equal platform was birthed. Many disabled people could use their gifts in a new way. When the restrictions were lifted, many disabled ministers who had benefited from this new platform said, "Please don't take this away from us. Do not cast us aside again. Because the physical buildings are reopening, let us continue to use our gifting." A disabled lady shared with us in a training session I was on to do with disability. This lady, who greatly benefited from the new online platform, she shared about some of her experiences of preaching in a physical church. She used to be asked to come and preach. This lady once had been asked to preach at a physical church. The lady was a wheelchair user. The church were aware of this, but when she arrived at the church, she couldn't get up the actual steps. She had to get out of her wheelchair and crawl up the steps into the building. Thank goodness we have access in this building. Thank goodness we do. In this particular church, there was no ramp or any access for wheelchairs. Once in the church, she was unable to maneuver her chair around and reach the pulpit. In the end, they had to bring a microphone to her, so she ended up preaching her sermon from off the floor. The congregation could not see her. This lady had said in that moment she had never felt the closeness of Jesus like she did when preaching that sermon from off the floor. But why did she have to? The whole experience could have been and should have been different. If the church that invited her weren't prepared for her, would they have been prepared for a chance visitor who used a wheelchair or had other access needs? So what can we do? Well, we can keep making sure that we think about such matters. We think disability, have a welcoming arrangements in place. As much as we are able, we need be pressing on for equal access and equal opportunities. We need be thinking outside the box, refrain from the one size must fit all, working towards greater accessibility for disabled persons. For we are all of equal value. We all have gifts and skills to contribute. The Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, he was in the picture with Jonathan a little earlier. Well, Justin Welby speaks of how churches must be places where all can belong together, where disabled people can minister and share in God's mission in the world. We are incomplete until the presence, experience, and skills of disabled people are included in this too. This really does matter. It matters to Christ, and it need matter to the church. After my college in recent times, I've been learning quite a lot about disability theology. There is a concept we have explored of God being called disabled. One aspect of this is the idea that when Jesus was on the cross, he became disabled. This was obviously a deliberate choice on God's part. He is the God who understands all human suffering. Whilst on the cross, though, Jesus experienced physical disability, paralysis, extreme physical weakness, deep fatigue. His breathing was laboured. He became blinded for a time when they cruelly blindfolded him. He was silenced. He had no voice. He was mocked. He was humiliated. He could not eat or drink without the assistance of others. It was a debilitating, disabling experience. He was completely at the mercy of others. The world became deafened to him in his vulnerability. And there are many today who feel that the world is deafened to them in their vulnerability. Obviously, Jesus did not stay on the cross. He died and he rose again. Hooray! For many people, understanding that Jesus experienced the full depth and breadth of disability is a great encouragement. To know we follow a God who is with us all in our struggles and understands the extent of all human sufferings can be a real source of strength. The scars of his crucifixion remain with him. We worship the wounded Saviour. I spoke at the beginning of the greatest disablement being in human hearts, but it can be too in our vision. God wants for us to see how he sees. He desires for us to see the person beyond the disability, the uniqueness of the person, recognizing that just because someone has a disability, that doesn't mean they can be any less a contributing, participative member within the church as anyone else. Certain provisions might need to be put in place or changes made to how things are got done. But God has prepared good works for each of us to do. So we need to enable everyone to use their gifts. Each person is worth doing that for. So we heard from Jonathan in the video at the beginning of the service, and also Dawn mentioned some of this too, that for some they find the actual disability, which is the very thing that has become some of their greatest strength in ministry. So let us not discount someone because of disablement, as it may be the case, because of the disability, God is able to speak through them even more. Let us not be ashamed of any conceived weakness within us. Placed in God's hand, this can become real strength. So coming towards the end now of my sermon, I'd like to share from my own experience of disability. I mentioned that about being at college. That's because many of you are aware, but in case you are not aware, I'm a minister in training, and a Baptist minister in training, and I've just entered into my third year. I was voted into this role by many people here in the church. They would have recognised something in me, a gifting perhaps, that was able to fulfil the calling. But last year, I began a journey of discovery. I found that I myself have an invisible disability. I had never ever seen it in this way, but with the help of my doctor and in college, I've been able to recognise that this is indeed what I have and have had for many, many, many years. I received a diagnosis for post-traumatic stress disorder. At worst, this can be incredibly disabling. I don't suppose many people in the church might know about this, as I don't find it particularly impacts me here within the church, as this really has become and is a place where I feel my gifting is used and I can flourish. But there are areas when it can affect me more. And at times in my life, these have been very, 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 very difficult, very debilitating. And sometimes I found it incredibly hard to function. However, with God's help, and in also with help of a therapist, even the areas where it does affect me now have become more manageable. Or sometimes an amendment might need to be put in place. I often carry a stone in my pocket. Not many people would know about that, but this stone I clutch a lot. It helps keep me grounded. I can't describe it, but I've often got a stone within my pocket, and I'll often be holding a stone. My own disablement isn't something I was born with. It's due to a complex trauma experienced in childhood. Jesus has healed a great deal of that trauma, for which I'm so, so grateful, though he hasn't taken it all away. And with his help, I've developed ways to manage and to cope. Though I'd prefer not to have encountered the trauma in the first place, which has led to post-traumatic stress disorder, without a doubt, I can tell you that the ministry I have today, I believe a big part of this is because of how this has shaped my life, how this disablement has shaped my life. The experience has helped me connect with others who too may find themselves somewhat on the fringes. It has birthed within me something that I might never have developed if it was not for the disablement. The ministry is often alongside those of us who've been sidelined, overlooked, or experienced rejection in some shape or form. And that can often be the case for many people who are disabled. So as I said, I'm not grateful for the traumatic experiences that's left an inner disabling, but I have become grateful for the depth and the breadth it has given me. I'm grateful for the ministry that I have. Yet, there are lots of brothers and sisters in Christ that are being kept on the edges, on the fringes, by misunderstandings and by the limiting attitudes of others who make assumptions that disabled means not able. This can go on, unfortunately, in the church as in any other sphere of life. So when Through the Roof asked in a service disabled people what you want most from the church, many disabled persons were of a similar vein. More than physical accessibility or adjustments, the response was to be met simply with open hearts and open minds. Maybe I would add to this that the disabled person might also be seen with eyes that recognise them as a person foremost, as God's masterpiece, as an included, contributing and incredibly valuable member in the body of Christ. Amen.